Let's go get that podcast. What are you tracking?
Styracosaurus.
Not our podcast. I'm tracking a big podcast on the scope. Could be ours. Computer, full stop. Identify.
Carnotaurus.
Definitely not our podcast. We haven't right, done Ray? We haven't done a proper Mickey Mutineers episode. I think we might be a little rusty.
So it'll be a proper Mickey Mutineers episode.
Yeah, Mickey Mutineers, Wolf Squad, Skellwag, Sons of Bitches, Wibbly Wobbly.
Why don't we get back here, Ed?
Let me try this again. Yeah, Mickey Mutineers, Wolf Squad, Skellwags, and Sons of Bitches,
No, it's all right.
Damn,
it's
like I've been practicing all day too.
Like riding a bike. No, third time's a charm.
I don't know how to ride a bike.
Well, then you'll be fine.
Just a motorcycle.
I don't understand the logic that's happening here. And take three, action.
Yeah, Mickey Mutineers, Wolf Swabs, Galawags, Sons of Bitches, Wibbly Wobbly, officially on the field, wildly inaccurate, yet dead nuts on Disney podcast, inappropriate on so many I miss on a bunch. I don't fucking care.
That's all right.
Fuck you guys.
Close enough.
Did he say officially off a whistle?
I have no clue. But...
Is it too early for the episode title?
Have you guys ever go to a barber and have him fucking light a cotton swab on fire and stick it in your ear to clean your ear hairs out?
No!
Oh.
Sounds awesome, though. But also, I don't have ear hair. But let me tell you all about nose hair. No! Speak no, Josh. Finish the intro. You have notes.
Oh, I got notes. notes tonight. We're back, bitches. Slowly but surely, Disney is coming back too. And for the main topic, Jordan tap dances.
Wait, I did not write that at all.
Oh, I'm gonna turn it upside down. The Disney Plus challenge.
There you go.
Wait, I'm very curious to see what that really spells upside down.
Jordan tap dances.
Bullshit.
It's proof. Josh just did it. He read it out loud. You can't. Hold on. So flames in your ears?
Yeah.
I feel Buddy, like.
What the? Hold on. What kind of barber are you going to?
Well, Vanessa. Shit, she's just trying to start me on fire, wasn't she?
I don't.
You have a fire hazard right here. Right here. Are you sleeping with your barber?
Buddy, wait a minute. Hold on. First off, yes, maybe. He is. Second. Like, why is his entire face is a fire hazard? Why would his beard just be the fire hazard?
I mean. Wait,
well, I mean, I may just be a fire hazard.
Yeah?
Or I'm just hoping I spontaneously combust.
That's possible. People have done that.
Isn't allegedly. That weird?
Allegedly.
Well, I don't think they choose to.
I mean, there's a whole Iron Man movie about that.
Okay, that's different. Although you're not wrong, which now I'm uncomfortable. Huh.
He just violently, spontaneously combusted.
Yeah, that was... Huh. And then they blamed it on an actor.
I loved his character. That's one
too.
Of the best fucking characters in that movie.
That's one of the best Marvel villains in the MCU. And
one that doesn't even exist.
Yeah, a villain is putting it lightly.
Yeah, he was just an alcoholic.
And drugs.
Oh, yeah, there's that too. And the hookers.
Yeah.
Oh, does any other Marvel movie have hookers in them?
I mean,
I don't think so.
I'm sure there's concubines in Thor. I don't know.
Well, that'll happen.
That will happen. I'm currently watching the entirety of the MCU so far. I can tell you right now, there were absolutely no hookers in Spider-Man Homecoming. It's usually frowned upon in high school anyway.
Yeah.
So, there's...
Far from home, though, they go to Europe.
Wait, there is a hooker in that one! He's caught with her with his pants down in the restroom.
Oh, that's right!
Holy shit! So, there you go. There's another Marvel movie with a hooker. Wow.
That's funny.
That was not planned at all, but I like the way that this turned out.
Speaking of hookers.
Uh-oh.
What time did you leave last night, Jordan?
Ah. 11? After 11?
And were you paid handsomely?
Yeah, I got a Yoda.
And pulled pork. And mac and cheese.
That's true. I also left with indigestion and heartburn that I woke up with this morning.
Oh, my hell. Josh, will you stop feeding Jordan spicy food?
He's a grown-ass man. He can tell me no.
No. This is completely on you. I'm going to gaslight Josh right here on the podcast. This is entirely your fault, Josh.
Okay, Robbie, did I hold a gun to anyone's head last night?
Jordan's saying yes.
Robbie was there, too.
Did he have a gun?
Robbie? Yes.
He didn't say no.
Jake was there last night.
Yeah. I mean, as long as we're just making shit up.
There was Jake. It was Jake's still in the fridge here.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah, you're on the fridge.
They're right there on the fridge. You see Jake?
Can you zoom in? Can you pinch to zoom?
I'm trying. No, it just dots back to me.
Did you guys draw me and put me on the fridge?
Well, yeah, you were on the fridge to begin with.
Yeah, that just happened later.
What am I saying?
I'm Jake.
Yeah, that way so there's no doubt that you were there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you were eating the chips and salsa and hot sauce along with us.
Oh, shit, did I like them? Wait, if you bring that picture over and there's like a weird smear on... There's a weird smear! Wow! First of all... Guys, can I just say this kind of means a lot to me? I'm getting a little choked up right now that I was even included in this. Like, thank you for that. You guys are kind of cool.
But anyways, that hot pepper jelly was pretty hot. There's probably a good 5 or 10 minutes we can edit out of that video.
Yeah.
I haven't got the video
yet.
It was
10 minutes long.
Well, it was like 20 minutes long, and like 10 of those where the camera was pointing at the ceiling.
I don't think it was 20 minutes.
It was 12 minutes. Well, the one you sent me was, it's still downloading.
Oh, 12 minutes?
Yeah, I haven't gotten it yet, so I don't know what's going on. But I guess this is a good time as any to say, hey, listener and or viewer, there's another Hot Sauce Heathen coming up in the future.
Yeah, 12 minutes.
And apparently, people like Hot Sauce Heathen. I didn't know this until I turned the comments back on YouTube.
Oh, really?
And by people like Hot Sauce Heathen, I mean Jillian likes Hot Sauce Heathen. And so, yeah. So, guys, comment on our YouTube videos again now that I'm not a jackass. So, I had no idea. It kind of blew my mind that no one ever commented. And apparently, Jordan, I promise I wasn't ignoring you.
What?
Oh, you were ignoring me. I see.
I was reading something.
Our YouTube comments. Speaking of plugging things, hey, new track is available on the Jake Box.
Yeah.
I mean, I still haven't heard the unfinished one because you didn't send me the unfinished one, and I haven't listened to it on Jake Box yet.
Oh, I was going to say, well, if only there was a way you could listen to it. Oh, guess what? It's on the Jake Box. So go to our YouTube page and check out the new Rock This Town on the Jake Box. It's not the version with Gavin in it.
Oh, it's not? So it's the one you did send
I fixed a few things, but yeah. Because, like, I did have him record his part, but then I realized the words of the song, and I was like, oh, maybe a 5-year-old shouldn't be helping sing this song. So I did not. Apparently it's a suggestive song. So, I mean, for the last 30 years, I've only known the chorus. Speaking of Rock This Town, okay, quick aside that has to do with this song, but nothing to do with my version of the song. So I was at work the other day, and the radio was playing in the shop. And this old guy that works there, he's like 70 years old. So Rock This Town is playing in the shop. And he's like, oh yeah, this is the kind of music from back in my day. And I was like, sir, this is from the 80s. This is very clearly my day. And not your day. And he's like, what? No, it's not. This is like, this is back in my day. And I looked at him, I was like, this is from 1981, man. And he's like,
Did you have to explain rockabilly to him?
No. I was like, man, I've seen these guys in concert. Like, recently.
Oh man.
The last
Speaking
decade.
Of which, the move, one of my picks today has Stray Cats in it. Well, Brian.
Really? Yeah. Oh, well, I know what your pick is. You didn't go very deep at all.
There's two movies I've not seen.
So,
said it as I was finishing that one up. So,
also, let me backtrack a little bit. I saw the Brian Setzer Orchestra in concert. I don't know if the other two guys play the bass and drums in the orchestra.
Lee Rocker and the drummer.
Skinny Pete or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think they did.
However, Stray Cats still a band. Their last album came out in 2019. And
it was fairly recently.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, speaking of solo careers, Lee Rocker's one solo album is really good.
Who's that? So who's that? I was just kidding, though.
It's the guy that plays the cello.
It's not a cello! Son of a bitch! Stand-up bass, but I'm actually gonna look it up right now. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm gonna see if
what are you looking up.
I want to see if the other two Stray Cats are in the orchestra.
I don't think they are.
Well, but they play Stray Cats songs.
Brian Setzer was in the Stray Cats.
Oh yeah, can I just say how bad of a choice it was to cover a Brian Setzer song? He's basically a guitar god. And that was really hard.
He's been in a lot more bands than you would think, too.
Yeah, like at least two.
Well, I mean, like, oh, man, he, what was it? He was like a touring guitarist for like Coverdale and Page or some shit like that.
No idea.
Or part of Whitesnake or I don't know.
Whitesnake? The hell? This is... Hold on. Oh, I found that. Nope. Never mind. I didn't find anything. the hell are the Tomcats?
That's an old TV show, isn't it?
Oh, it was
I'm thinking of a different thing.
It was... Well, Tomcat... Wait. You're thinking of... No. What was the one where they flew the Tomcat? SWAT Cats.
I'm thinking of Top Cat.
Get the hell out. Anyway, this has all been fantastic Brian Setzer talk. I do enjoy Brian Setzer a lot, though.
Definitely good music.
And I'm glad he's going to come up later on in the episode, apparently. Okay, let's do this. Let's,
Wait, don't we have news?
Yeah, so I was going to say, first up in news.
I thought we were jumping right into our main topic. I was like, wait, what the hell?
wait, don't we say things right here? Like, let's talk some news.
Let's do it?
Nah, let's talk some Disney.
Let's do it!
Let's talk Disney.
Talk this.
Talk soup.
You know, I feel like this would be as good a time as any to just switch up this entire thing, which we've tried to do. However,
and it's all led us here.
So. Yeah. Listener, I hope you're happy. I hope you're enjoying the reunion tour so far. Guys, it has been 2 months since we've done this show.
Seriously?
This show. This particular Mickey Mouse.
Yes. Yeah, I understand that, but it hasn't felt like that.
It's felt longer.
It's
felt like a year. Oh, yeah. I thought you meant like it didn't feel that long. I was like, man, like the last 2 months have felt like... Remember when we were all, you know, no, I'm not going there. Hey, guess what, guys?
What?
Oh,
you want me to go get mine?
Wait, yeah. No. Shit, no, this is a terrible idea.
You started it.
No, Jordan, I'm going to cue you. No, not yet, Jordan. Let's back up for a second. Guys, let's talk some Disney.
Let's do this.
God, Jordan.
What?
This is your cue.
For what?
He's our guest.
All right, put the harmonica away. Sad harmonica. Anyway, guys, guess what?
What?
Disney Springs has started to open, I guess, a bit.
Oh boy. We all saw the picture of the lady grilling hot dogs, right?
That's the only thing I want to talk about. I'm just going to say it right now.
That's really the only thing I want to talk about.
Like, one of the comments I read about that on Reddit was something about they're practicing their religious faith. I want to be part of the fucking religion that grills hot dogs on public places.
So it was pointed out to me today that the lady, and I don't know how, I haven't followed up on this, so I'm not too entirely sure. You know, the way that the lady and the lady right next to her was dressed, they were Orthodox Jewish. And, like, okay.
So
that. But then.
Those are good hot dogs then.
But then would they be grilling hot dogs?
Yes. Hebrew National is kosher.
This is true. Right. And there's some really, of the best really hot good. Dogs. Like, yeah. Hebrew National is my number two hot dog.
So whether or not they were practicing their faith or not, like, that's, you still can't have an you can't bring in an open flame.
Right.
You cannot bring in a mini grill and just casually sit next to Raglan Road and then proceed to cook hot dogs for your cavalcade of children. which hold on, like, I'm not making fun of the children because they're completely innocent in this, right? Because they, like, to them, their parents were bringing them to Disney Springs, they were gonna have fun, and then they were gonna have a picnic. Like, the kids didn't do anything wrong because they didn't know anything was, what they were doing was right. So, like, I'm not making fun of the children, but this lady brought this cavalcade of children with her.
So I got a question.
Okay.
Does Disney still, like, have little picnic areas where you can do shit like that? Like, besides Fort Wilderness, which is closed right now?
What?
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, in Fort Wilderness, you have to be a guest of the resort to be able to do that kind of shit, too, though. So.
Oh, yeah. That's
we were grilling at Fort Wilderness. That was fun.
Look, I just want to say, like, I just now found out that this was a religious thing. That being said, is there not somewhere else they could have done this? Did they have to go to Disney Springs to grill hot dogs? I mean...
Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
I liked it better when I thought it was just Floridians. Like, Disney Springs is open, let's go grill hot dogs. You know what? No, I'm sticking to that narrative.
And they didn't have their masks on either. They're actually asking people to put on a mask or leave.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, they're not fucking around with this shit.
That's good.
Like, I see so many people like in the stores here without their damn masks.
Yeah, like when I went to Walmart the other day, there was like a ton of people without masks. I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, see, I mean, I will say I'm very guilty of not wearing a mask on Saturday. But I was at a restaurant eating. You can't
really.
Yeah, that's a good.
Okay, what, Jake, what?
Or?
I just want to say, along the lines of mask talk, anyway, I live in Utah, and people are very much against the masks because it impedes on their freedoms. They're also dumbasses. Exactly.
Because it quote-unquote impedes on their freedoms.
Right, yeah.
So,
it doesn't actually impede on, but they like to pretend like they're a victim and that they're oppressed when they're fucking
stupid
privileged white people.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much Utah. However, the state of Utah, they had set up a website where you could just go order free masks from the state of Utah and they would just send you masks. And I was expecting the disposable, you know, blue and white masks. I got them the other day. These are full cloth, reusable, fancy masks.
Now, holy shit.
I'd go get them and show you, but I don't want to stand up because I'm not wearing pants.
What are pants?
So, glad it's not just me. Anyway, yeah, so, like, good on the state of Utah. However, the residents of Utah, well, guys, what the hell? What the hell?
Okay.
This is a lot like Disney Springs.
Okay, my little side rant to your rant is I guarantee you if the president would fucking be proactive and be wearing a goddamn mask, his followers would too. And I'm going to end it right there. I'm just going to leave it there and walk away.
Agreed. And also agreed. That was all around agreedness. Hey, you know what? Can I just point out that Josh and Robbie are both wearing fantastic shirts? So are you, Jordan, but I didn't make yours. I also did not make mine. I kind of wish I'd made mine and Jordan's, but I did make those ones, and they're awesome. Good job, guys.
I feel like I need to get
my, my shirt was made in the sweatshop.
Yes, it was.
No, it was actually made in a shop down the road from your house.
It's true.
Huh.
We support local sweatshops. Wait.
Good.
my friend works for that sweatshop. That's not a joke. He actually does work at the place where we have our where we order our t-shirts from.
That's the whole reason I went with that site.
Yeah.
What site is it again? I forgot.
Store Frontier, which is a subset. Shit. What is it? Something Tees. I can't remember what it is now, but it's Store Frontier.
Yeah, that's where I got my fucking choo-choo motherfucker shirt. I have them. Bought one. I just made it and put it there.
I feel like I'm slacking because I feel like I'm the only person that doesn't have a Mickey Mutineers t-shirt.
I mean, I have a Jordan Gasly shirt, so not
Terminus. Terminus tees.
Terminus.
Yeah, like Terminus. Because that was Atlanta's name before it was Atlanta. It was Marthasville. I can't remember if it was Terminus, Marthasville, and then Atlanta. Or Marthasville, Terminus, and then Atlanta.
Wait, Atlanta used to be called Terminus?
Yeah.
That's way cooler. Can we go back to that?
Well, it's because of the railroads.
Oh.
Founded as the terminus of a major state-sponsored railroad.
Huh, neat. So, does that mean that's where the railroad started?
No, it was just like a crossroad.
We're at the crossroads.
Well, that's where the railroad stations would switch.
Oh, at the terminus.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
All right, so it was Terminus first, then it became Marthasville, and then in 1843, it became 1845, it became Atlanta.
Why Atlanta?
Because it was close to the Atlantic.
Oh,
and Atlanta Terminus? Is the feminine version of Atlanta or Atlantis.
Oh,
Atlantic.
That makes sense.
So Terminus, Thrasherville, and then Marthasville, and then we should have left it at Thrasherville. Sounds like fucking metal.
Yeah.
Like, all of these except for Marthasville are way cooler names than Atlanta. I'm glad they changed it from Marthasville. So did that railroad go... Is that the one that went all the way to Utah? I mean... Well, Matt in Utah. Technically went all the way to
No, we're still too far south to be part of that line.
Oh, wait, I found the map for that one. Oh, wait, what? The Transcontinental Railroad only started in Iowa? That doesn't seem right.
That's interesting.
Huh. Not exactly transcontinental at all.
Who would have known it'd be so hard to build a railroad to the Sierra Nevadas?
I'm not talking about the one. I'm talking about the one that went the other way.
I know. Yeah, that's why they made it so far. This is easy.
I think my favorite part of that story is when they got to northern Utah and they were kind of passing each other and they both had to like erase and line back up. It's like, oh shit, they're over there. The railroad's gonna take forever. Anyway, that's pretty much all the news I have. Oh, Shanghai Disneyland is open. That happened. Yeah.
And I think they're doing the same. They're doing the same thing: taking your temperature, making you wear face masks, wash your hands.
Can I say something real quick about the theme parks reopening? Because our local park here, Lagoon, just opened, and if all the major theme parks follow these protocols, it's like super lowered attendance. You have to make reservations to go on the day you're going. Like this is what Lagoon is doing: masks. And then they have the spacers and all the queues. There's hand sanitizer at the beginning and end of each queue and ride. They wipe down everything. I saw pictures of opening day. The place was a ghost town. Guys, this is amazing. We're talking theme parks with no crowds, and I'm loving it.
That sounds awesome.
I kind of want to go. Not immediately. But kind of like towards... Eventually. Like if they stay like this, I'm all in. This sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Oh man, I saw a great meme about Universal Florida reopening. Something about Universal submitting their reopening plan to Governor DeSantis's office, and it said no plan, and it said Governor approved.
That sounds about right for both parts.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna start opening up on the 1st.
Who is?
Universal.
Universal?
Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I didn't know. Wow. So Disney hasn't announced any opening date, have they?
Nope.
Like for the parks.
And to my knowledge, they extended the cancellations for the first week of June.
Wow.
And when I say the first week of June, I think it's like whatever the last week of May and the spillover into June. I don't think that includes the first full week of June.
Yeah, well, Disney's been pretty damn smart about this, which is pretty damn cool.
Wait, that's this week. That's this. No, it's next week.
It's next week.
Yeah.
Next Monday's the 1st. So.
Okay. Also, well, then yeah. Then it's just this week.
I was supposed to be boarding a cruise today.
Wow.
Wait, seriously? Is it fun?
So far, it is great. Got a room with a view.
Nice.
Yeah. Is it
porthole window?
Yeah. Right into the galley. It's pretty sweet.
But so were you able to get a full refund?
Yes. Well, no. I didn't cancel. I rescheduled. So I got the 100% credit for a future cruise. And then upgraded the shit out of my future cruise.
What cruise line?
Royal Caribbean.
So, all right, I don't know.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if cruises are going to be a thing. And I don't mean that because people are going to be scared to go on them. I mean that because I don't think they're going to have money to exist.
No, we bailed them out, even though their ships are flagged on foreign countries to avoid U.S. taxes.
Did we?
Yes, we did.
I never actually saw anything that said, like, I saw things that said we did, but I never saw, like, proof of it. It was all in comment sections, but I'm not saying it didn't happen. However, here's the only thing.
I didn't research what I saw, so.
But here's the thing. The only thing, I'm not trying to stick up for them if that's what they're, if they actually did, but they do port in American ports, and it brings a lot of tourism and tax dollars to those ports. So, like, if they use that as an argument, I could see that.
Right. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Again, They are registered in foreign countries for this exact reason.
Yeah.
So,
but, you know.
Like, I see both sides of the coin. But, hey, that's capitalism for you. That's what we do. So.
No. This is corporate socialism.
Right. This is capitalism. What did you say?
Corporate socialism.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's every 10 years when capitalism fails, they need socialism to bail them out, and then they, for another 10 years, they bitch that socialism never works.
And then they try trickle-down economics, which also doesn't work.
Yeah, because it did great.
They gripe that socialism doesn't work, but then they turn to it whenever they need to get bailed out, and then all of a sudden it works, and they're like, yeah, but it's bad.
Right,
but you just got all this money from socialism, like we know, but it sucks, and they say that while they're stuffing their pockets with money that socialism gave them.
So much. So which one is it? Exactly. But like, people have profited off this, like in the last 2 months.
Oh wild. Yeah, but not me.
That's capitalism, baby.
Yay. Anyway,
take a disaster and make somebody a millionaire.
Hey, don't let a good disaster go to waste. That was
anyways, can we go to our main topic before I get
Yeah, let's do this. So we have a main topic this week, and I'm going to let Jordan explain it because it was his idea, and it was a fantastic idea. So take it away, J-Dunks.
Oh, I don't know what I decided to officially call this. But so I had this idea, since we all have Disney Plus, and I haven't really had the time to go and dig around and watch some of the more obscure stuff. I came up with a challenge of, all right, we each had to choose two things on Disney Plus and watch them. And we set up parameters. The parameters were, it cannot be anything Star Wars related. It cannot be anything Marvel related. And I think I even said it couldn't be anything Pixar related. So it had to be straight up 100% Disney.
Yes.
Disney Studios. So, and I also gave the option of you can watch a movie or an episode of a television show.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think I put any kind of parameters on what years those had to be released. So I think it was just anything that was incredibly obscure. I think I said the more obscure, the better.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I watched three that probably fought well into that category.
So,
yes, I watched three.
Like one, being overly prepared.
A bit before the topic even was.
Oh, so you were just doing this already?
Yeah.
So I also think it said it had to be obscure or obscure to us, something like that. So anyway.
And we hadn't seen it before.
Right.
So, okay, so I watched The Aristocats. Just kidding, guys.
I watched Peter Pan.
No, I still haven't seen The Aristocats. That's the part I'm kidding about. I didn't ever watch it. So I think we should just do, like, one at a time. Just, like, one of us talks about one, then move on, and then we'll circle back around and talk about our second one.
Okay. Works for me.
Kind of like a top four, but a top two. Just and two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in any particular order, because, I mean, I'm not going to rank. No, I did rank my two, but that's the end of the
tell the two that I watched this week, because I don't remember the one that I watched, like, a few weeks ago.
Well, tell them one at a time, so start with one. Let's start with Robbie. Robbie, take it away. What's one of the things you watched?
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Okay.
I'll allow it, because you know what? I've never seen it either.
Was that the book? I have not read the book yet. I'm going to start reading the book, though. But the movie was very interesting. And I could definitely tell which parts were the fake shots. Because there's an obvious difference, of course.
No, that was a real squid, sir.
Because of when the movie was made. But it was really interesting just to watch the movie.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, historians. Wasn't this the first live-action, like, full-on Disney production? Like, this was their step into the live-action filmmaking? Or did they have stuff before this?
Was it 20,000 Leagues, or was it Treasure Island?
Oh. I don't know. Keep talking. We'll find out.
See, first. But, action.
My favorite part was just the
Treasure Island.
Whole side view of the Nautilus.
The Nautilus is a sweet, sweet design. See, I like this because, like, I know things about this movie. I still haven't seen it, so I'm glad somebody watched it. So
I've just been meaning to watch it.
Would you recommend it?
Yes. There are definitely boring parts, but that's kind of normal for a movie. But it's very interesting. And if you're, like, into, I guess that's, there's a lot of sciencey stuff to it. And if you're into it, then it's definitely going to be.
I'm into it. I like the Jules Verne.
It's good.
The production designer on that movie should have won an Oscar. Maybe they did. I don't know.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to find out.
But I also noticed, like, in the fighting scenes, there was an obvious disconnect between punches.
I mean, they're still working on it. It was 1954.
It was funny just to see that stuff. But it was a great movie.
Ha! Sorry. It won an Oscar for Best Art Direction Set Decoration. So there you go.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, the scenes where it's inside the Nautilus were like amazing.
Did it make you want to go to Disneyland Paris and get inside the Nautilus?
Yes.
Nice. All right, who's next?
Is the Nautilus the same, like, interior wise at that Disney? Well, I'm gonna have to research that.
I have no idea. But anyway, Josh, what do you got? You're gonna go next.
Well, I mean, I was watching this while we started talking about it. So I'm just going to go with this with my first one.
Okay.
The Country Bears.
Oof.
You know what? It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, honestly.
Wait, what kind of tree bears?
Nah. Country bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a lot of great cameos, good cameos. I don't know. A lot of cameos. Like, Elton John, Brian Setzer, Willie Nelson.
Oh, wait, Brian Setzer was in it?
Yeah.
Oh, this is not what I thought you were going to say Brian Setzer was in.
Oh, well, what did you think I was going to say?
I thought you watched The House of Mouse.
You didn't think so. Yeah, I've seen that. I love that. In fact, damn, I need to start watching that again. Yeah,
me too.
I had no idea Brian Setzer was...
Once they finish what I'm watching on Netflix, I'm definitely going to start watching that.
Should I watch The Country Bears?
I would recommend it. You know, it got a lot of shit for being just a garbage movie, and it's not terrible. I mean, it's the same story as the newer Muppet. What is it? The Muppets?
The 2011 one?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically the same story. Clubhouse getting torn down. Go on a road trip to save it. Montage.
Wait, Bonnie Raitt is in it?
Yeah.
Nice. Brian Setzer exhibit? Wow. Elton, Wyclef, Don Henley. It was fantastic.
Hey, Don Henley and Bonnie Raitt do the singing voices for a couple of the bears.
Oh, yeah. Bonnie Raitt is Trixie.
Yeah, singing voice, though.
Yeah. Yeah, singing voice.
Huh. The costumes were a little lacking, I feel. I think they could have done better. But other than that, you know, I mean, it is what it is. It was all right.
It has a 4.1 on IMDb. That's not good.
Yeah, it's just not as terrible as I thought it was going to be.
Huh. Did they at any point play Blood on the Saddle?
Nope.
Oh, what the hell?
Big Al was one of my favorite characters in it, though. He kept telling people to get off his grass.
Good. I'm just glad that Big Al made the cut. Was he?
Yeah.
Like, I know he's in the original show and Trixie is. Were any of the other ones? Like Henry? Is Henry in it?
Yeah, Henry and Zeke and Zed and Ted and Fred.
And a bear named Tennessee. Yeah. Are they really all in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I kind of want to watch it now. I just thought they were just random bears and Big Al.
No,
I didn't know they stuck with all the same. Oh,
Yeah, but it didn't have the fucking the singing busts. I was a little disappointed in that.
Oh, like not even a reference to him?
Oh, I didn't catch a reference to him. I don't know.
I'll watch it later.
Have to check Easter eggs for that, I guess.
Max and Buff and Melvin?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Good choice. All right, Jordan, who's going next? Me or you?
I'll go next.
Okay.
All right. So this is something that's been on my to watch list since Disney Plus debuted, and I've actually never seen an episode of this show before. So I went with the first episode of the Mickey Mouse Club.
Like what iteration? Like the original?
Like the 1955.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like and everything?
And it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Like I thought it was going to be 30 minutes of, you know, the kids in their Mickey Mouse Club gear outfit, just like singing and dancing, and then maybe one cartoon. And it's kind of how that was, but this was twice as long. But then they had like pre-filmed, like little small stories or like little small bits,
uh-huh,
put in, and I wasn't expecting that. And one of the things when they opened, they do the opening credits of, you know, M-I-C-K-E-Y, M-O-U-S-E, Mickey Mouse, and they do like the whole Mickey Mouse Club theme song.
Uh-huh.
And then it just cold opens into this pre-filmed, it's almost done in like a documentarian style way where it's like a narrator just saying what is going on the screen. It's two Boy Scouts and a Native American man on an airboat in the Florida Everglades.
What the hell?
And it's just, and he's talking about Osceola, like the Native American Seminole Osceola. And it's just like these two white kids with this Native American man who's like on this airboat. And man, it's fairly racist. And when I say fairly, I mean it's kind of pretty much racist. And what's really funny is the narrator, the whole point of the video is these two children who are Boy Scouts are being taken to this area where this Native American, I guess, chief. I don't want to say something wrong and it be inappropriate for the culture or insulting to the culture. So I'm trying to choose my words very, very carefully. So right. Like a high ranking Native American of the Seminole Native American who was apparently pushed off of his land by Andrew Jackson. And then he went and hid, but then he was caught and then he was imprisoned and then he died in prison. And it turns out that the Native American man who's driving the airboat with these two white Boy Scouts is the great grandson of this Native American man. But the way the narrator goes about it, it was like, here they learn about this man's great grandfather. That's where he hid from these from the American troops. And then he was captured and thrown in jail. But that's all for today. We got to go. And like he just glosses over the fact that he was imprisoned because he was a Native American man and got his land taken away from him from white people.
Well, I mean, we got to whitewash that history, man.
And I was like, oh, no, yeah, that sounds about white. So
can I give the episode title?
Sure. And then it goes into like another like pre-filmed bit where it's like, oh, hey, here's the Mickey Mouse Club news. And it just tells you about all the things that are being filmed and like all the Disney news that's happening around the world. Mm-hmm. And like, then it cuts to the Mouseketeers and you finally get to meet the Mouseketeers and they're dancing around, having a good time.
Shake and then they do.
Yeah. And she was in it. And then.
Oh, Annette.
Yeah. And then they do this whole. They do this whole bit about a song about shoes, and all of the cast members, some of them are dressed up in certain costumes and they're doing a song about shoes. And like, so cowboys come out and they sing a verse about cowboy boots. And then one of them comes out dressed like a clown. And then they do a verse about clown shoes. And then, yeah. And then as as the cast members are coming out in their costumes, the narrator comes over the microphone and goes,
Julie is the clown.
Why?
So-and-so is the cowboy.
And I'm like, what is going on? I wouldn't have known that if you needed to tell me that that particular person was playing the clown or the cowboy.
Wait, is this all still the same episode?
Yeah, yeah.
That's just weird.
There's a couple other like pre-recorded bits, but then at the end, so there's two adults in the Mickey Mouse Club, and one of them's name is Jimmy. And he's kind of signing off for the episode. And he's like, you see here at the Mickey Mouse Club, every day is going to be different. Monday is going to be the blah, blah, blah day. Tuesday is going to be the blah, blah, blah day. And then Wednesday, he's like, Wednesday is the anything can happen day. And then this Wednesday on anything can happen day, what's going to happen is going to be, we're going to have a gadget band. And I'm like, buddy, it's anything can happen day. Just don't tell me. Because that defeats the purpose of the anything can happen day. You just told me what's going to happen on the anything can happen day, meaning that Wednesday is the gadget band day.
What the hell?
That's kind of fucking funny.
I want to watch this so bad now.
And then there was like an 8-minute cartoon, and then it ended. And I was like, oh, well, that's... What I did like about it is that since it was filmed in the 1950s, they're still doing advertisements the old fashioned way.
Like on the show?
Yeah, so they'll cut and it'll be like a nice piece of artwork. And then it'll be like, make sure to tune in to the American Broadcasting Company. That's ABC, or you know, with extra funding by the Coca-Cola company, and it'll show like the Coca-Cola logo or whatever. Like, good old fashioned advertising. I like that. That's
cool.
Wow.
Yeah, that was my foray into the Mickey Mouse Club. It was simultaneously not what I expected, but also everything that I expected it to be.
All right, so far what each of you have said, I want to watch. And I hope that trend continues with my first movie that I watched. And by first movie I watched, I mean the second movie I watched, because I am saving my first one. So I watched a little show. I don't know, like, I think it was on the Wonderful World of Disney or something. But I watched a little show called Mr. Boogity.
This has been in my to watch list. I almost watched this one.
I want to tell you right now, I loved Mr. Boogity, and Jordan, you should definitely watch it. It is fun.
It was out of print on DVD for the absolute longest time. Like, used copies of this DVD were going for like 50 or 60 bucks on Amazon.
Jeez.
Whoa. It's only 45 minutes long.
It was out of print. Like, you couldn't readily get it. You had to get it from a third-party seller.
Like, get on Disney Plus right now and watch. Well, not right now, but soon, and watch.
Oh shit! No, I'm gonna turn it on right now. Hold on.
No. And what blew my mind was the cast in it of it.
I'm sorry, I'm about to watch Mr. Boogity, Jake. Hold on.
Oh well, you're about to watch a young Christy Swanson.
What?
John Astin is in this.
What?
Yeah, a very young David Faustino. If you don't know who that is, it's Bud Bundy from Married with Children.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Like, so what this movie's about, a family of white people move into a haunted house, because that's what white people do, right?
Guilty.
And you know, they start witnessing strange things, and old man Witherspoon warns them that there was a guy that kidnapped a kid and blew the house up 100 years ago or something, and their ghosts still haunt the house. And so there's like, no. But the fun part is, the family's dad, the dad of the family, I think he works for a gag company. Not this kind of gag, but the fun kind of gag.
Yeah.
Just, I knew Josh.
So the red mouth balls.
No, not this kind. This kind. And so it's just like, it starts off with trust issues. Like, is this house really haunted, or is the dad just constantly playing tricks on us? Because it shows him doing that constantly. And, like, I don't know who the actor is that played the dad, but he is overacting so much to the point, like, it's really fun. It's ridiculous. And I was like, I like this guy. I could party with this guy. Anyway, it was not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be, and I highly recommend it. I don't want to say how it ends, but it is fun. Good seeing John Astin in there, too. So, yeah, Mr. Boogity. All right, Robbie, back to you. What's your second pick?
It actually was mentioned in this here episode, but Treasure Island.
Like the original?
Yes.
Nice!
And while I was watching it, I realized that Treasure Planet is basically just based off of it. I'm like...
Wait, you didn't know that?
No,
I mean that's the whole reason why it's called Treasure Planet, right?
You
know what else is based off of that?
Mostly,
you know the movie, Robbie. Similar,
except who is talking?
Treasure Planet is in space.
You want to know what other movies based off of that?
Huh?
Muppets, Treasure Island.
I knew you were gonna say that.
No, tell us about it. How'd you like it?
It was very interesting. Like, I have watched Treasure Planet recently, and, like, that a lot of it reminded me of that movie. I'm like, oh, shit. But it was really funny a lot of the time. And very interesting. Like, it... The guy that was on the island stranded was just fucking crazy, which was pretty funny.
Benjamin?
Yeah.
Not Benjamina.
So if you like that, if you like that, there is on Amazon Prime kind of an unofficial prequel series called Black Sails.
Wait, that's an unofficial prequel to Treasure Island?
Yep.
I had no idea.
I want to read the Treasure Island book, though, at some point. I don't have one, but I want to get one at some point.
It's only like $8 at Barnes & Noble. There's like a classics section on the little spinny thing.
Yeah, I've seen it. I just haven't gotten it.
Yeah.
I want to, though.
Okay. So, was the movie good, though? Would you recommend it?
Yeah, it was great. Like, if you've seen Treasure Planet before, you're basically... seen more parody version that's not in space, but it's
I like that the way you're wording it is like Treasure Island ripped off Treasure Planet.
No, it's the other way around. But
damn dirty time travelers.
Treasure Planet before Treasure Island, you get base, it's similar, but of course Treasure Island's way freaking older
than Muppet Treasure Island too.
Treasure Island has a Georgia connection.
Oh, it's true. In Savannah, right?
Yep.
Yeah. You told us about it. That's the only reason I know.
Yeah.
I like it, though.
Really good movie.
Oh, so speaking of parody movies, did you know the Disney Swiss Family Robinson's the second version of that movie made?
Wait, hold on. I know this one.
TKO made the original like 20 years before.
Oh. I don't know this one.
Yeah, but because Disney owns TKO now, both of them are on Disney Plus. I haven't seen the black and white one yet.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Huh. Well, what did you see? What's your other one?
My other one, I watched John Carter.
Oof. I am sorry.
Again, it wasn't as bad as I was expecting.
I hated John Carter.
I enjoyed it.
What was it about?
It's an early, you know, 1900s sci-fi novel.
I read the book. It was great.
Princess of Mars?
Yeah. I love Princess of Mars.
Then you know what it's about.
I'm not entirely sure what the movie's about. Like, between trying to read the subtitles and, like, the things were clearly cut from this movie in the edit bay. And I don't know what the hell happened.
But it's like, He was in the desert looking for this lost city of gold, because apparently that's what you do in the desert when you're broke. And
you end up in a cave, you end up on Mars.
Yeah. And then he drank the funky milk that they feed the babies, and he could understand their language all of a sudden. And then it's just a sci-fi Western adventure movie.
Now, Andrew Stanton directed this. I know he can make a good movie. I've seen him. He made some of the best movies.
But like you said, a lot of shit. And there's a lot of shit movies that would have been great movies if the editor didn't suck.
Yeah, it was like that. You're absolutely right. And by you're right, I mean I'm absolutely right. The editing is what brought this movie down. Everything else is fantastic. The acting was great. The effects were great. The storyline might have been great. I don't know. I got lost in the editing.
I kind of want to see the, what is it, the new editor's, the director's cut of
Justice League?
Yeah. I would just want to see how much different it is.
I like Willem Dafoe as an alien. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could totally tell it was him. That was, yeah. But no, I didn't think it was terrible.
Oh, I did. So. I'm not going to watch that one. This is the first one I'm not going to watch.
I think you should rewatch it. Give it a chance, man.
Absolutely not. Maybe I will. If I get way too bored. All right, Jordan, what's your second?
Hoo boy. My friends, do I have a doozy for all of you? I watched the very well-known Disney classic, Ghosts of Buxley Hall.
That was next on my list. It was recommended after I watched Mr. Boogity.
Man. Yeah, let me spin you a yarn about this movie. This movie aired. It was a made-for-television movie. However, it did not air altogether. It was split up into two parts and was shown over two Sunday nights on the Wonderful World of Disney. Whenever they used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a lot going on in this movie, and we're going to talk all about it. So, the movie straight up has a hard, cold open. And by that, I mean the first scene is just a still. And then five or six scenes of credits just go, Ghost of Buxley Hall starring this person, this person, this person, this person, boom, onto the movie. Like, there was no setup. There was nothing. It was, this is the movie you're about to fucking watch. Here you go. You're going to watch it.
Wow.
And the movie is about Buxley Hall, which is a 100-year-old military academy for young men or young boys. And however, the whole plot is they're losing money. So in order to get the funding to stay open, because it has this reputation of just being this old historic military academy, in order for them to stay open, they have to combine forces with this all-girls school. But the all-girls school is much more of like a loose and, hey, we're all kids and we're all hanging out kind of like mentality. So it's the uptight military boys versus the like the fast and loose young ladies, right? So they have to combine powers in order to financially be able to survive. So the girls move into the second floor of the military academy, which, as you can already tell, there's always this boys versus girls mentality, and how women are all just reckless and all the boys are stern and listen to the rules. So to add an extra layer.
No.
Yeah, I know. To add an extra layer to the plot, there's a boy who gets sent to the academy by his aunt and uncle. And the uncle wants him to be in the academy, but his aunt doesn't want him to be in the academy because the boy is the heir to like a multi-million dollar fortune, and the aunt wants to essentially kill the kid and take control of this money. So on
what the hell?
Yeah. So she's trying to get the kid in his custody and hopes that he like either
there a quote-unquote accident happens, or can somehow convince the kid to sign over the rights to his money to her. On top of that...
So it's Scooby-Doo.
On top of that, the aforementioned ghosts are three ghosts, two of which are the ghosts of Civil War Union soldiers. One is, I guess, the general. I forget what his name, General Buxley, as the hall is named after. His wife, and then just another Union troop who's some kind of sergeant. I can't remember what his name was.
Sergeant Cheater Be Sweet.
Okay, so Cheater Be Sweet. So
I hope you're happy.
Okay, so the general doesn't like the fact that the girls are moving in. So he wants it to be, because he's the ghost of a Civil War soldier, and in the Civil War, that was just how society was. It was like, no, this is a place for men, not for women. But as the movie goes on, he's slowly starting to realize that, oh, if the girls don't stay, then the hall is just going to be destroyed, or it's going to be sold off, and then Buxley Hall will cease to exist. So more than halfway after the movie, the general comes around to realizing that, oh, no, we need the girls here. In the meanwhile, while this is going on, the aunt who's trying to get this kid fortune is trying to, like, send hitmen in to kill this kid. And I, like, there's so much going on that I don't even know if I'm accurately portraying or, like, recounting what was going on. So
Jesus, this is just insane.
Yeah. So towards the end of the movie, when the aunt realizes that the kid's not going to come live with her and he's not going to get the money, she somehow has enough money to go and buy the academy. And she buys the academy and then brings a wrecking crew to just destroy it. Because if she can't have that kid's money, she's just going to destroy the military school. So the ghosts, the boys, and all the girls have to work together in order to scare them away in like the last 5 minutes of the movie.
So it just turns wow. into the Three Amigos?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just kind of scare them away.
What's really funny is that there's a lot of stereotypes in this film. Like there's the custodian of Buxley Hall, who's just very anti-women, and he just goes, "Girls." Like, in regards to the girls moving into the building. And then there's the one main girl, her name is Posey, and she's wearing a shirt that says "Never underestimate the power of women." So, right, this is like right after the whole women's liberation movement of the late 60s and the 1970s. So, like, and in fairness, the teacher of the girls' school, I feel like her name was Emily, or her character's name was Emily, was very pro, like, oh no, like, hey, we're here to be equals. We're not here to be, you know, subservient to you. Like, we are on equal playing field. So it's very much a 1980s, or the 1980s of equality of men and women, right? But of course, like all of like the military drill sergeant, who's very conservative in his ways, just doesn't like that at all. Oh, something that I noticed that was really weird from this movie. Like, the ghosts will open doors, but in another scene, they'll just walk through walls.
Well, I mean, that's what ghosts do, right?
Why are you asking this question?
Man, there was one scene in the military school, in the drill sergeant's office, where one of the ghosts was hanging in the corner, but of course he couldn't be seen because he's a ghost. A black dude comes in uniform and says something to the drill sergeant. And the drill sergeant's like, oh, okay, excellent. Thank you so much. And then the drill sergeant leaves. the Civil War general just stares at this black dude in uniform as if to say, like, it's blowing his fucking mind. Like, why the fuck are you in my school and why are you wearing that uniform? As if black Union soldiers didn't exist. But the fact that there is a black man in full military outfit in his school is like, he's losing his shit and he doesn't know what to say. He literally cannot say anything because he has no idea what to say.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is this the one you texted me about that said this is rough?
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. The one I was watching.
I'm gonna watch it.
it's crazy.
It sounds crazy.
Well, it sounds like they kind of tried with it. Unlike my next choice. Guys, I have seen Satan's butthole. I'm here to tell you about it.
Oh God, what is it?
That's on Thor Ragnarok.
No, that's Satan's anus.
Oh, that's the devil's anus.
Yeah. No, this might be the worst thing I've ever seen. And it's a little short film called Fuzz Bucket.
Ooh.
Fuzz Bucket. First of all, okay, let me send you guys a picture of it real fast in the group text, because holy shit, you guys, this was the roughest 45 minutes of my life.
I've been through a lot.
What the hell is that?
That's Fuzz Bucket, Robbie.
What the fuck?
So here's what Fuzz Bucket. It starts off with a little kid in his treehouse.
That's fucking Splinter.
No, it's not. You wish it was.
Is it Splinter? Splinter's freaking simple little brother?
I don't know. It's a Fuzz Bucket, Josh. So it starts off with this kid.
That's fucking, what's his name? Right there.
If you're going to say Joseph Gordon-Levitt, no, it's not.
It's not?
No, because I thought the same thing. And it's absolutely not. When you watch it, you're like, no, this is way worse. It's like a poor man's Jogo. Anyway, so the movie starts out with this kid talking to someone in his treehouse. And you realize that this someone is invisible. Because when you're going to make a special effects movie like this, what better way to save on budget costs than to make the special effects creature invisible? Which also means you're not filming anything. But the problem is, this kid is pacing back and forth in his treehouse while talking to this invisible creature, who you don't hear, you only hear like a little jingle of a piano, like as his voice. And you're just like, what the hell? And first of all, it annoyed me because the kid had no sight lines at all. He had no consistent sight lines. According to what he was, whatever he was talking to, it was moving all over hell and creation. And I blame it on poor acting. Anyway, so this kid's starting his first day of junior high. I don't even remember this kid's name because I don't care. However, his older sister, she was kind of hot. And looking more into it, it was Blake Lively's older sister, Robin Lively. So family has good genes. Good genes. All right. Then as soon as I finished creeping out on Robin Lively, the movie continues. So he goes to his first day of school, and apparently this Fuzz Bucket is this invisible creature that follows him everywhere, and everyone just thinks he has an imaginary friend, and his parents are like, you're too old to have an imaginary friend. He's like, no, Fuzzbucket's real, blah, 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 blah.
But you guys believe in Jesus.
That was never mentioned. Anyway.
That was my outside voice. I'm sorry.
So he goes to school. Basically, Fuzzbucket gets him in trouble by tickling him. And he has to go to the principal's office. And the principal... Oh, this is the greatest part. So the principal was played by John Vernon. You might remember John Vernon from such movies as Animal House, where he was Dean Vernon Wormer.
Yeah.
He's in this movie. And along those lines, might I also say that one of the executive producers of this movie was John Landis.
What?
Let me say that again. The executive producer of this movie was John Landis. And I am not making that up. Like, it showed it in the opening credits, and I was just staring at it like, what? Why? And I still don't know why. because he should not have attached his name to this movie at all. And it's not some other John Landis. It's the John Landis. Oh, anyway. Damn. So, kid comes home from school after being sent to Dean Vernon Wormer's office. And he starts making this concoction in his kitchen. Some wild-ass concoction. Why can't kids in movies, like, cook cleanly? It's just jars of spaghetti sauce and peanut butter all over the kitchen. He puts it all in a blender. It starts glowing. Mom comes home. Anyway. Eventually, this invisible creature drinks this thing, and he becomes visible. And then the movie gets worse.
Oh, because God.
This little rat dick of a creature is one of the most annoying things that I've ever seen graze my eyeballs and my ear holes. Now, I mentioned last week that I really don't have a problem with Jar Jar. This is like...
worse.
Far worse. Like, I can't... You guys have to watch it. The way this thing talks, and half the time, not all the time, half the time, the mouth of the suit does not work. So he just kind of... The mouth just kind of hangs open, and he talks. But then other times, the mouth moves. And the consistency bugs me. Anyway, you find out that this little fuzz bucket creature has to get back to his home before midnight. Otherwise, he's going to disappear forever. And so... Grant, now let me remind you, it's been like a day and a half that this kid has known this thing. And he's like, I gotta go, my home is... And I'm paraphrasing this. He's like, my home is on the other side of town in the fields. And they're like, what? And the kid's like, the fields? Not even grown-ups go there. And then he's like, that's where fuzzbuckets live. So Fuzzbucket takes off. And the kid's like, wait, no, I want to come with you. And he starts saying things like, he's like, I want to be with you. And so he chases Fuzzbucket through town. Somehow, this Fuzzbucket is wildly elusive. I don't know how he keeps losing the kid. And Fuzzbucket's like, no, you're my best friend, but I gotta go. Anyway, they get to the field. Well, Fuzzbucket gets home. Kid gets to the field. Starts crying. He's like, Fuzzbucket, I love you. And then he finds the Fuzzbucket home, and Fuzzbucket helps him. And they kiss, and it's really weird.
What?
I wish I was lying.
What? No.
Not on the lips. It was a cheek kiss. But still.
That still does not help.
I wanted to crawl inside myself and die after watching that. Like, the cringe was real hard.
I don't want to watch this movie.
I'm gonna finish it for you. I'm spoiling the whole thing. I'm gonna tell you exactly how it ends. Because, so the kid's talking to Fuzzbucket in the Fuzzbucket hole, which is a weird sentence. And Fuzzbucket's like, no, you helped me become visible, so I helped you. And the kid's like, how'd you help me? And Fuzzbucket's like, you'll see.
And now he's a Fuzzbucket too?
No, he's pregnant. No, just kidding.
Well, that'll happen.
So the kid gets home. Come to find out, apparently his parents have not been getting along. And Fuzzbucket left presents for them from each other. And so now they love each other again. Now the kid has a happy family. And then the credits started rolling.
Oh, wow. If it was only that easy.
But, like, the parents didn't question, like, I didn't get you that. They just both kind of went along with it. And anyway, yeah, I highly recommend watching Fuzzbucket.
Yeah, I think I'll pass.
No, please, do me a favor, watch Fuzzbucket.
Listen, you can pass.
Jordan, will you watch it?
No, not gonna.
I might have to torture myself to watch that.
Robbie, you have time. Please watch Fuzzbucket. I need, like, someone else has to share this pain.
No, Robbie can't watch Fuzzbucket. He's a real boy.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Robbie, watch Fuzzbucket. It's a John Landis movie, guys.
Eventually.
How bad can it be?
Apparently pretty fucking bad.
By far one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Horrible. I was so I watched that first, and then I watched Mr. Boogity, and I was so relieved at how good Mr. Boogity was. And really, yeah. I just like to say Mr. Boogity. So.
Can I mention the one that I watched way before the topic?
Yes.
It was a Black Cauldron.
Oh, that does not count. Get the hell out. We all know the Black Cauldron had its own attraction at Tokyo Disneyland.
Well, I've never seen it, at least not that I know of.
Yeah, it was actually based on the book Treasure Island. It was based on a book, though, and I read the book. And
what is it called? The Black Cauldron?
No, it was the Chronicles of
Narnia.
No. Huh. What was the name of it? Man, I don't remember. It was a weird name. But anyway, this was fun, guys.
Yeah.
Chronicles of Riddick.
Ah, good, good. No, that sounds right. That sounds right. It's a dark movie.
Yeah, that's definitely what this was based on.
Very dark movie.
Yeah.
It all happened at night.
Yes. Yeah, anyway. I wouldn't mind doing this again sometime in the future.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was a good one.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of things I came across that I was like, that could be...
Yeah, there's a lot of movies.
But, like... Yeah.
I like how that's just in general. I just generally said that. There's a lot of movies.
But there is a downside to this now.
Why?
Because now that I've watched these two movies, my Disney Plus thinks that I'm into these kinds of movies. And now my recommendations are just way...
Yeah, I've noticed that after I watched my two. I'm like, wait, what the fuck are these ones?
That being said, it's going to make it real easy to do this episode again.
Yep.
On that note, I don't remember how we end Mickey Mutineers.
Shit.
Let's do this.
Let's do this!
Woo! Voice start.
Credits. That's
oh, God.
That's Jake, that's Josh, it's Robbie, I'm Jordan, and as always,
fuck off.
Watch Disney Plus.
This is not a paid
advertisement. Are you not getting paid for this?